Welcome to another retrospect interview with the man you can hear singing in the background, Sean Schemmel. He was the voice of adult Goku in Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball GT and Dragon Ball Kai. And thanks to the good people at Oz Comic Con, I was given a chance to have a short chat with him about playing Goku. Anyway, enough from me, let's hear from the man himself. Okay, joining me today I have the voice of Goku himself, Sean Schemmel. Thank you for joining me, sir.
Hi, Paul. It's nice to talk with you.
Okay, I'll get right into it. Most voice actors come from a variety of backgrounds, many of them not from the entertainment industry. What was your background? Where did you come from?
Well, I've always kind of been in the entertainment industry my whole life. I was formerly a classically trained musician, and I played French horn in orchestras for 20 years, well, 10 years professionally. And then I trained as a marionettist in a marionette theater, and I started doing voices in that theater. But I had always done voices my whole life. As a little boy, I was always turning down the volume on the TV and doing voices, and my friends were constantly asking me to do voices because apparently I was something I was good at. And then another friend of mine had bugged me to audition for Dragon Ball Z, even though I didn't know that was what I was going to be auditioning for, and they kept bugging me, and I said, I don't want to do it. I finally relented and did it and got cast as Goku. That was 1999.
Before you got the role, you took over from the Ocean cast. Did you watch any of Ian Corlett or Peter Kalamis' stuff to get a feel for it?
Actually, I did, not before the audition, but I was very picky about that. The producers were not insistent that I do that. They were just like, do what you want. Let me be more specific. They did ask that we mimic the voices for the audition, but after that, they were just like, okay, you got the part, come in and go to work. Well, I had a personal goal because I, as a child, had a pet peeve about people changing the voices of my favorite cartoon characters that I didn't want anybody to know they had changed the cast. And so I took videotapes home after I got cast, before we started recording. Every day I would try to stay ahead of the curve, and I was reviewing Ian Corlett and Peter Kalamis' work quite extensively, actually. And then to the point where after the first DVD was released, my friend, who was a close friend of mine, who knows me very well, he said, yeah, they got a new cast for Dragon Ball Z. They changed everybody but Goku. And I'm like, oh, really? They did, huh? And he goes, yeah, yeah. And I go, no, they changed Goku, too, because that's who I'm playing. And he couldn't believe me because apparently I'd gotten really, really close to it. Now, by the time I got to the Super Saiyan business, though, because we started at episode 53, so by the time we got to the Super Saiyan business, I had really decided to settle into the character and make it my own. And everything after that is, that's when I kind of took over in my mind, and as actors say, that's when you own the character. And that was when Goku did the Super Saiyan transformation, is when I felt like I was no longer had Peter or Ian in my head anymore. And I love both those guys as actors. I listen to a lot of their other work, and I've always been real impressed with them. So it was kind of hard shoes to fill, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. How did you go following the whole Dragon Ball storyline? I mean, like you said, you started during the Frieza arc, then you went back to record the end of Dragon Ball as adult Goku, then over to GT, then you redubbed the early stuff again.
Well, yeah, well, actually, we started in the Ginyu Saga, and then we got up to the Frieza Saga. Well, they call it the Ginyu Saga. It's not really a Ginyu Saga. That's really the Frieza Saga, but they called it the Ginyu Saga, and the Funimation did, but Ginyu's not, he was Frieza's henchman. That's what the director's for. They would explain the basics of what I needed. We don't get the scripts beforehand. I'd show up. They go, okay, here's what's going on. You're being attacked by so-and-so. This person is a very badass. This is the animation. Here, they'll watch it once and go, and you better go and nail it. And you could ask questions. And sometimes they'll give you, answers, and sometimes they'll direct, directors, I mean, I've directed anime myself, and there's a lot of choices they can make. They can tell you to hit certain words, or they can tell you more emotional content, or they can tell you what's going on more, or they can, give you a line reading, which is real irritating. But, I'm okay with line readings for the most part. It depends on the director. But, it was hard to keep track of. And, I would do a lot of question asking and a lot of research on the web, because there's a lot of the story data is on the web. But they don't give you a lot of time for that. They basically just get in the booth and go,
There's also a lot of nasty stuff on the web about the English dub, and I think it's completely uncalled for. I was talking to Kyle Abear, and he said some fans can be very in your face at conventions about their thoughts on your portrayal. How have your experiences been?
Well, I've had... one of the things, it's a surreal experience to portray a character that was originally portrayed in Japanese. So it's kind of like when I saw an interview with the Simpsons cast of Mexico, you know, they're the cast for Mexicans. They, you know, they're not really, they're not, from what I could tell from the interview, they're celebrated as the cast for that show. So let me see how I can answer this question, because I'm kind of a philosopher, a lay philosopher, and I believe in the art of subjectivity, and there's a lot of the work I've done as Goku that I think is total crap. However, just because I think it's total crap doesn't mean it's crap, because it's subjective. And I've got kids that come up to me that love characters I've done on other shows and work I've done that I think is terrible. And I can't say, well, you're just wrong. If they love it, they love it. If it floats your boat, it floats your boat. I can't argue with it. Now, that being said, I have had some problems with a couple of fans online who will go nameless, and I have kind of tried to educate the fans in my Facebook fan club and say, look, I'm open for open debate. I'm open for discussion. If you hate my voice, that's fine. If you want to talk about my emotional portrayal of the character in this scene or that scene in an artistic manner, even if you think it's terrible, be prepared to tell me why. If you just think I'm a talentless hack and think I'm a piece of shit and want to curse about it, well, that doesn't work for me. But if you want to explore my performance in a way that's highly critical, I encourage that amongst young people, because it helps them develop a sense of artistic critique. You know what I'm saying? It helps them think critically about art instead of just blindly follow whatever the media tells you you should like. And so I'm a huge believer in that. And some of the young kids are really impressive. They're very, well, I didn't feel this performance was solid, Sean, because this, and this. What choices were you? And they're very intellectual about it. It makes me very happy. Other kids, and they've gotten pretty nasty with me. I'm just pretty nasty back. And the reason I am is not because I think two wrongs make a right. I'm nasty back, and then after I'm nasty, I say, no, I'm trying to show you that it does us no good to be nasty to each other. I mean, I'm usually actually doing it kind of as a facetiously. I'm not really seriously being nasty, but I'm basically, you know, I've been through the ringer on this. I'm not taking any shit from anybody. However, I am open to constructive criticism, even if it's very harsh. And I'm my own worst critic. So that's kind of, I haven't had, and on the other end of it, and this is what's, I hate even saying this, but on the other end of what you're talking about, I've had some fans tell me they like my work better than Masako Nozawa's, which is, you know, blows my mind, because she's a legend in Japan and the original voice of Goku. So some people think, I mean, overall, I feel like I get more "you're the best Goku" than I get "you're a piece of shit." So, at the end of the day, I feel very gratified. But really, truly, at the end of the day, I don't care. A lot of what goes on in this business is about fans thinking that actors need the ego stroked, and I don't have a lot of ego attachment to it. I have ego attachment to my work when I'm in the booth recording, and then after that, I let it go, and it stands on its own. And there's some work that I do that I am still very proud of to this day, some Goku stuff, and some of it I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. And, you know, I have to take the blame, even though sometimes it's the director's fault, sometimes it's the writer's fault, and sometimes it's my fault. And in fact, you know, a lot of times it is. But, you know what I'm saying? I'm dancing around a lot of gray areas and saying, I'm giving you a broader answer, but I don't think in simpler terms like that. You know what I'm saying?
No, that's fine. And of course, like you said, you've got the other end of the scale where you have kids coming up to you and saying, my God, you were a part of my childhood. You were Goku.
Oh, yeah. And the surreal thing is this. When I first got on the show over 12 years ago, I'd meet kids like, oh, yeah, it's cool, you're Goku. Now I meet kids 12 years later, and it's a totally different vibe. It really, and I'm only quoting these kids. I'm not saying this about myself. It's very important to stay grounded in this business, because I am clearly aware of the illusion of mass media and clearly aware of what the power of media has done for me in terms of my work as a voice actor. But that being said, now the vibe I get is, you are in my soul. You're a part of my life. You're a huge part of my childhood. And things like, well, I watched this show with my uncle or my brother before he went and got killed in Iraq. And then me and my friend Ralph, Ralph's a biologist, and well, you know, he's a computer programmer, and we like to think about how the brain works. I'm like, well, think about it. These kids' brains are forming, and every day the sound waves of my voice are going into their head over and over and over, millions of kids every day. While their synaptic pathways are forming, your vibrations are stuck in this kid's head, Sean, and it's extremely freaky to think about it that way. I mean, and the reason I know that's true is because for me as a child, there are voice actors and voices, particularly Mel Blanc, that are as equally iconic in my head. And it's so funny that I mentioned Mel Blanc, because every time I start thinking I'm good at this, I go watch old Mel Blanc stuff, and I feel just totally humbled. The guy, I don't think anybody's doing as good. I think there's great voice actors out there, but I still don't think anybody's doing as good a work as Mel Blanc did. I really don't. There's a couple that come close in my opinion, but he just really is just, especially when you watch him do, when you watch him on camera, when they've got video cameras, or well, film, I guess, on him, and you watch how he just really commits to character. You know, every time I start thinking, hey, I'm getting pretty good at this, I watch that and I'm completely humbled by what he does. So, you know, it's a surreal experience. And you know what, at the end of the day, all I do is, kid comes up to me, hey man, if I made them feel better when they were getting bad grades, or parents, mom and dad are coming down on them, or I made them feel powerful to stand up to a bully because of the way I inflected that and matched it to the animation drawn by, you know, Toei and created by Kira Toriyama, and that's a powerful sensation for that kid, I'm doing my job, and that makes me sleep really good at night.
And then we fast forward to Dragon Ball Kai many years later.
Yeah.
You sung the theme tune to that. How was that?
That was a last-minute thing they asked me to do. I am a baritone, and the original singer is a tenor, and I can get up there. I gotta admit, it was a little out of my range, but I really, really enjoyed it. And I was trying to do my best to honor the spirit of the Japanese singer more than I was trying to put my own spin on it. I'm classically trained, so I have a strong music background, but I have my own recording studio in my apartment, and they said, well, can you do this tonight? Because it's a last minute thing. And I'm like, oh yeah, send me the stuff. And so, yeah, some intonation problems that bothered me, but, I was very, very, very thrilled to do that. It was really, really thrilling. And I felt very appropriate. And then they went on to have other cast members record, for other discs. They had other cast members record the theme song for future discs, so they kind of made a spin on it, which I thought was very cool.
I know this upset Kai Laybear a lot because he never got to reprise Gohan, but how do you feel about Toei ending with the Cell Saga and not continuing in Daboo?
Yeah, well, the way it was explained to me, and I don't know if this is true or not, so I can't speak for the Japanese, but the way it was explained to me was that Kai simply wasn't selling well in Japan to justify finishing the Buu saga, and that's how it was explained to me. So I think the Cell saga is a nice ending point. The problem is, it's not the end. So I was very disappointed, and I would have been nice. However, I was thrilled because it's unprecedented that anybody gets to redo their work, and I feel very strongly and very comfortable about my acting in Kai, except for the last volume, because I was sick on the last record session, and they insisted that I finish. My girlfriend was helping me out with my voice, and she was like, don't talk to me. She was insisting I don't talk and giving me tea like crazy. So I feel like the last disc isn't going to sound good, but they told me it sounds fine, and I haven't heard it yet. It is unprecedented that someone gets to redo that stuff. I even got to revoice Nail in a way that I really wanted to make him sound cool. And I'm much happier with my King Kai portrayal, much happier with my Goku portrayal in Kai. However, I did go back and watch some Z, and I was like, oh, this isn't as bad in terms of my performance as I originally thought it was, because I was really hard on myself in the early days. I really was, and I still am hard on myself, but I'm not so mentally abusive to myself. I'm just more focused and committed. I'm much older now, so I know I can do this. I just I don't beat myself up for days after a performance anymore.
Are you familiar with the three new Dragon Ball specials that have come out over the past couple of years?
Yeah, I'm familiar with one of them that was supposed to be part of a short or something that was supposed to be part of a video game. And in fact, it was part of the video game. I don't know if it was the Raging Blast 2 or whatnot. And what happened was we were supposed to dub that, and it wasn't in the budget or the time. It wasn't in the time. I don't know if it wasn't in the budget, but it wasn't in the time because, you know, we get a flat rate for the game, and I would have been happy to add the extra time onto that for doing the half-hour special. I think it was a half-hour special that was in one of the video games. I'm very disappointed that we have not dubbed them. I'm hoping that we will. That's entirely up to Funimation. But, you know, a lot of things like BitTorrenting and have really hurt sales. And Funimation, you know, I don't know what their numbers are, but, you know, I know that the whole DVD industry is hurting because people are, you know, we're going through a media transition to where, okay, do I stream it? Do I steal it? Do I pay for it on DVD? And a lot of kids are just think it's okay to to steal it. And, you know, it's hurting the industry big time. So when the money, it's basically the bottom line. It's the same thing with the Blue Saga. When the money's there, Toei will make it. And the money's there, Funimation will make it. I mean, that's the bottom line. If they're not making it, it's because the money's not there. I mean, that's got, and I'm sad that that's the way it is, but that's simply the nature of the business. And, you know, I mean, I could talk to you at length about how many other compromises are made in terms of the quality of the show for the sake of money. But that's another conversation.
With the video games, every single Dragon Ball game has a story mode. Do you ever get sick of revisiting Raditz for the umpteenth time?
Yeah, I do. I don't play all the games, but I just played Raging Blast 1 or 2 with my girlfriend because she's a hardcore gamer, which is so awesome. We play Tekken and we play Soul Calibur a lot, and then I finally busted out Raging Blast, and while it was a very, very fun game and very cool, I felt the control system was really complicated compared to, say, fighting. It was, granted, you're moving in more dimensions, so maybe that's why it's complicated. I love the Raditz storyline, and Justin does such a great job playing Raditz. I don't mind hearing his work again, of course. But, yeah, I get tired of revisiting that storyline. But I'm just happy that with Kai we got to do it in the truer tale, which is the tale of the Monkey King. And I felt like a lot of the depth of the story was obscured by the original writing in Z, and then that was able to come out in Kai. So I'm really happy that legacy is there, and I wish that we had done Z more truer to the story. But those are not my decisions. I'm an actor.
Well, thank you for your time. We'll see you at Oz Comic Con tomorrow.
Yeah, and everybody, and I don't know if you're airing this before Comic Con, but I hope everybody will come out and meet me. I'm looking forward to meeting everyone. I've been coming to Australia for 10 years now, and I love this country. It's great.
As are we. Thank you very much for your time, Sean Chemmel.
All right, take care.
You too. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.